Hello and welcome to another Red or Dead podcast. I'm your host, Andre Dixon, with my band of merry men and the special woman on this show. How are you guys today? So I'm with Suki, Ellie and Maria. You know, boys, how are you? And then finally, Maria, what have you been up to this week?
I'm good. I'm good a little bit. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but it's been a bit full on since things have... Let's say the world's reopened and people have realized that COVID no longer exists in their minds. Mm-hmm. And everything's just gone crazy again. Like, it's like everyone's gearing up towards Christmas, businesses
and stuff.
So yeah. So it's like, all right, we're on. Okay, now we go. And it's just been, it's been mad. But I like it, but it just takes a bit of getting used to of this especially hectic schedule.
Yeah, there's only so many people can fit around your fine dining experiences. He likes it being exclusive. He doesn't like the normal people getting involved in it.
Andre, Drake, did I or did I not invite you?
I got a lastminute.com. Like, just so people know, when Ellie invites you out, you could be on the train. I literally, at that point, was on the train with three boxes of clothes trying to get it home. And then I got this text message from Ellie saying, actually, you know, I've got a party for you to go to. And like, I don't think I could actually, you know, literally get off this train, let alone get to your party.
At least you got a text message.
Yeah, no, but no. Nah. Oh, okay, here we go. Nah. All right.
You know where
it had to be in central London at a specific time for this. And I was a last minute invite. That's why it was late, because I didn't know I had the plus
just
one.
For the record, like, it takes me 12 minutes to get to central London.
You see
sorry. Okay, fair enough. Later.
It does, but...
Yeah. All right, noted.
Suki, what have you been up to, my friend?
I had a really chill week. It's been good. I've been on TikTok.
The opposite of me, basically.
You've been on TikTok?
Chilled.
What? You've been on TikTok, you say?
Detox.
Oh! No. I think TikTok. I'm intrigued. Are you on TikTok?
I'm going to actually ask you.
Have you got some dances on there?
I'm going to ask you guys about that actually, because I'll get to that in a second. Maria, what have you been up to?
And same with as Ellie was saying, it's suddenly become really, really busy, and it's been I found it really hard just getting up in the morning. It gets to like 7, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I actually have to get up and do stuff. But yeah, things are really, really busy. Lots to do, lots to organise. But yeah, it's all good. All good.
Right. We know, obviously, we have our, you know, for those who's been surviving, listening to us for the last year or so, however long it's been now. You know, obviously, we have a little benign chat at the start. But this week's benign chat is how old, what's the limit? Of, you know, of your age that you should be on TikTok, because the world is pushing me towards it. I don't want to do it.
I can ask
you know, you youngsters, whether it's possible, whether I should be on
when you say being on it, do you mean having an account and looking at stuff or actually posting stuff on it?
Not dances ever, but yes, but being active on it.
I use it. I have to say, I only started using it a little while back, but I think it's brilliant. I love all the videos. They're fantastic.
So, Maria, you're on
you
it.
Pick what you're interested in. I've only ever posted one video on it, and that was from...
A voyeur, they
Anfield.
Call that.
No.
A social media voyeur.
Not
they partake,
at all,
but don't but contribute.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what... I don't think I've got anything particularly exciting to add that anyone would want to watch. So I just posted a little bit of that match I went to up in Anfield, and that was it.
I'm surprised you're not already on it, Dre. I thought it'd be quite...
Same. It's very Dre. Yeah.
I think you have to do it now. I don't have any use with it. I kind of like it.
You have to do it.
The youngest person around.
I personally don't use it, but I did... dances from it last year during the lockdown.
Did you post them?
I didn't post them to my account, but...
Oh, you just did the thing.
Yeah. Oh, you were part of a duet. You're part of a duet.
I was either part of a duet or I was part of this sort of... Do you know when Zoom video calls were a thing and all these quizzes last year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I had quite a lot of challenges where I had to learn some dances. So I did them sort of Zoom things and things like that. And as part of like quizzes and team exercise.
Great.
I enjoyed it, but I have cousins who sit on there like in the evening just browsing and get quite a lot of tips off it, which
I get completely engrossed. So when I first put it on my phone, which was probably maybe about a couple of months ago, because I'd been resisting and my sister-in-law was going on and on about it. So I thought, you know what, let me have a look. I downloaded it onto my phone at about 10 o'clock at night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I was still sitting there scrolling through blooming videos.
No way.
Let me give you the
engagement tool, though. We use it at work and we get thousands and thousands of people engaging with it. It's great.
Yeah, let me go corporate for a sec. It's TikTok's a unique audience, actually. Apparently, there's something like 38% of TikTok users that don't actually have a Facebook account or something stupid like that, or an Instagram account. So it's a very unique audience, actually. And also, the age users of it, the people on it, are actually quite a lot like Maria. So there's a lot of people who don't actually post content, but they're purely just to watch, because it is more like a TV channel than an Instagram is. You know, it's more like a YouTube where you go there to watch something, and then there's lots of short things to watch of different kinds and stuff. So I think from your point of view as a business, you have to be there, because if you're not, I had a talk by the CMO quite recently I listened to, and he was talking about where they're going, because they have a real different viewpoint on how they reward their creators. So they're looking, their TikTok's viewpoint on content creation is we need to reward the creators. We need to find a way to reward the creators because they keep us alive. So you'll notice that most of these other platforms have ways that you can earn. But what TikTok do is if you have a certain number of followers, they will monetize your account for you on TikTok.
Oh, really?
Yes, exactly. And they're looking at extending this service further in different ways and connecting with brands and all kinds of stuff. So
I do like the way that Ellie's he sold that to me. Yeah. He's definitely talking me around, because I'm thinking
you're a media company, man.
What you do TikTok is a must.
It's a must. Really, yeah.
I have a friend, Ray, who I used to work with, who has gone viral on TikTok, and she's now quit her job and become an influencer because she's getting enough money for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it then. You passed me the routine. I'm on it.
She's got 400k followers. And she hasn't got anywhere near that on Instagram, but she's just gone viral on TikTok.
What does she do on it?
I think she... She started because of the whole Black Lives Matter thing last year.
So what's that? Sorry.
She started doing like these themed TikToks about what your school doesn't teach you but should, but sort of with a sort of comedy element and an educational thing, and they just went viral.
That's what we do at work. So we do little shorts to just kind of get you plant seeds of topics and things, so you can go then off and find out more. It's really effective. Literally, all right,
you guys have talked me into it. To the general public, you know who to blame now that you're going to get this onslaught of NFL dancing with
don't dance. That's what's changed. Dancing. That's why it's safe to go now, because it's not about dancing anymore. It used to be about dancing, and that's when we couldn't go anywhere near it. But now it's not about dancing. So you can just post anything. It's literally like video. Anything you want that's a video content that you're a bit clever about, just you can post it. And even if you're not that clever, but you've got something to say, post it. The good thing is it's such a new platform, relatively speaking, is that it gives you a chance, as in, you know, the problem with someone like Instagram, Facebook, if you're new, you're trying to create anything now, you've got no chance. Unless you get lucky, you know, in the real
world.
That
is true.
You've got no chance. Whereas with TikTok, you actually got a chance. You know, if you do something right, you'll get seen, you'll get rewarded. So
we've now added more work for Maria now. Maria's it's just hit her that actually now we might have to do a TikTok.
Are we going to do dances at the beginning?
We'll do a dance. Suki is already well versed in that.
We can sing a chant, sing a Liverpool song, and then do a dance to it, and then people have to learn it.
Before we lose any more listeners that we already have, let's get on to the football, because I can feel them being like, all right, we can talk about football or what? Yes. So let's get to it. Right, obviously, Palace last week, we played them. Convincing victory. I won't say beaten, but it was a convincing victory. Very professional victory. Maria, what was your take on the game?
Okay. It was a great game to watch, very entertaining, which is always good. I thought we started off a little bit shaky, actually. I was a little bit worried at the beginning. There was a bit of me that was thinking, I told him we have to watch out for Crystal Palace, but we obviously reported it back. Torn at all.
No, come on. It was not torn, but 60-40. 60 no. Liverpool, obviously.
No, not at all. That's terrible, Eli. I knew this would happen with the Crystal Palace match. I thought we did really well. It was great to see. Keita was my kind of star of the match. For me, I was so, so happy for him. There was obviously the potential penalty that wasn't given. Mm-hmm. That was, what was that, Tsimikas against, can't remember actually who that was against.
I think it was Benteke, I think.
Yes, no, Benteke. No,
was it?
Okay. It was, Benteke. I think. Yeah.
I do think that was a penalty.
Same, and I actually, have to say.
Yeah, and it was quite weird. It was almost completely glossed over. Mm. Really
scored right after it as well.
Yeah,
we did. It was really odd, completely glossed over. Obviously, Crystal Palace were slightly in shock at what happened, and we went and scored at the other end, which is fine. Great for us.
I like the way you added that. Well done, Maria. Keep going.
Fine. I do think, and you're going to go, no, I thought Crystal Palace actually played really well. It was really good to see them playing differently and seeing some of the Crystal Palace players really shone, I thought. But I thought Liverpool were really strong, firing on all cylinders, and just a great, great, great match. So that was kind Ellie? Of really
fun. Yeah, I have to agree with you, Maria. I think, you know, everything you said about Palace came true in that game. And then Klopp agrees with you more to the point. You said it's the hardest 3-0 victory, one of the hardest 3-0 victories he's ever played. So it's a testament to how well Palace did. They were physically strong, but not in the way that they used to be, where they conceded lots of possession and then try and hit on the counter. They actually were on the front foot. They pressed us so high up the pitch. I mean, they were running. I mean, I thought shout out to Jordan Ayew. Tsimikas had his hands full, but it was a real battle both ways. I thought they both, not just because he's got a name, because he's highly talented, very good talented as well. Shout out Black Stars. I thought I had to give credit to him again. There's a couple of real standouts for us. Milner stepping in last minute for Trent's illness, and he was just phenomenal, like a machine back and forward. I thought Thiago was looking bright till he came off. Unfortunately, it's another story, but you know, then the story changed because a certain friend came on and scored a banger. It has to be said, an absolute banger. But we don't need to dwell on that.
Debut as well.
Oh yeah, what, sorry, yeah. Kanate's debut.
Oh, Kanate, of course. I completely forgot to mention. Yeah.
If I'm being honest,
this Palace and this Keita coverage, you missed a massive.
No, don't forget the Ghana. The Ghana.
Can't take it away from. Yeah. Are you, to be honest, usually isn't that great. But anyway,
Kanate. Be careful now.
No, do you know what it is with him? He's really good, but he's finishing terrible.
Yeah, hot and cold.
Terrible. But yeah, other than really that, he's great. Kanate. Great.
Dre, don't be like that. Dre, but for everyone listening, Andre Dixon said he'd never go to Liverpool unless it's in a box. But he was at this game. And he was in the stands.
Should be leading this conversation. Yes. Tell us.
I mean, come on. What's the atmosphere? The exactly. What's the atmosphere like?
I couldn't work out where you were. Where were you?
I mean, all right, I'll let Suki do the Kanate actual coverage. Kanate. Unlike these two, Kanate. Sorry, I forgot where son.
It's not Ofcom all over again.
Spurs forward. Suki, how did you think his debut went?
I thought it was okay. It's clean sheet. He's got to be happy with a clean sheet. I thought he looked nervous, and he looks like he needs to settle a little bit. I think he probably just needs to learn off VVD for a little bit. I'd say out the four so far that we've played, his looked the weakest out the back four. We'll get to Gomez in a bit, but I actually think Gomez has had a great start to the season and has looked incredible. Gomez has been up there with VVD and Matip, obviously, as really strong. The other thing I wanted to talk about was just Jota. Jota's looking not great. He missed that, I think, probably the worst miss of the season so far.
What a miss. Yeah,
I don't know what he was doing. I don't understand why he decided to. I think he wanted, where he could have just tapped that in. He decided to just like, I think he wanted to just make the net bulge or something like that. I don't know why.
He should have placed it in the opposite corner. I don't know why he didn't.
To be fair, he could have fallen into it and it probably would have gone in. It's one of those ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he missed it.
And it would have gone in. It's one of those. And I actually, when I was watching, I thought, man, Suki had it last week. Obviously, I had that debate. I spent that massive, Teray going on about defending Yota, saying what he gives to the team and this, that, the other.
No, I really like Yota. I just don't think he should be starting right now. I think it's Minamino time. I think Minamino needs to start. I'm looking forward to Bobby being back. But yeah, I think Minamino needs to give a chance. I actually think Jota just works perfectly coming off the bench. And I think he's more impactful when he comes off the bench. So
and Europe as well. I think he's better in Europe as well.
I just feel the problem with Jota is when he can finish, and we know he can finish because he's got us a lot of 1-0s and he's got goals when he's not necessarily played very well. So he does have that ability to finish. But the problem is if he doesn't finish or if he's not scoring, he's not involved in the game at all. And he doesn't really link the play. I think maybe he needs to play on the left. Like, and him and Mane need to switch, but I thought Mane's looking a lot better actually, which is, I think, positive.
It's a bit annoying with Mane because he seems to be on and off, doesn't he? He'll have one match where he's fantastic, and you're like, yes, he's back, and then the next match it goes downhill.
He's had a good couple of games now, though. So, hopefully, he's got his goals. Which...
It's mainly his finishing that's been poor, if we're being honest.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I think if he'd have taken his chance,
he's had good gameplay this season. And he has scored now in the last couple of games, so hopefully that's a good thing.
I think, for those who don't know, I travelled up a weary old man. I felt last Saturday after going to the Isle of Wight Festival the night before, which was several hours of chaos trying to get home. Got home about, 3 o'clock in the morning, had to get back up to be on the train at 10 o'clock. So my weary body travelled all the way up to see my beloved Reds. But one thing I actually was surprised about is how many, I thought that obviously because I'm travelling from the south, I literally live 20 minutes away from the stadium. And I was surprised how many Liverpool fans there was on the way up to Anfield on the day, which was really pissed off all the Palace fans that were on there. But I thought, okay, well, they're being friendly now, but they're on the way back. On the way back it's going to be something, but like overall,
were they in first class with you then?
No, of course not. That's why I was wearing my shirt with pride. When we got in our cabin, there was no Palace fans, there's only Liverpool fans. But on the way up there, there's like a lot of optimism. It was around the ground. It was like, I mean, what they've done around the ground with the new stadium, with the new store, just like the facilities around there is really, really
nice. It's so nice, isn't it?
So nice. It's the actual pleasant experience. Not that it was crap before, but it's a bit like rushed before.
Yeah, no, you felt you had to leave. Once you'd have finished the game, it was like,
you had to come out.
Whereas now you can linger, you can, walk around.
And there's more. They're expanding there's all the land around it that they're now going to be building on. So
tremendous.
It's getting better. Getting better.
So atmosphere, Dre, you haven't told us what the atmosphere like.
So the atmosphere was really like everyone was like really in, in good spirits. Everyone was like, the atmosphere was strong. Obviously, I think what it is that a lot of teams come over and they start singing the same old crap. Where's your famous atmosphere? Let's make it clear. Small teams, you have to matter. You don't matter to us, so therefore we're never going to give you the full Anfield experience. So we're not going to be like rocking, the stadium's not going to be rocking like if it's a bit City or United or
a Champions League
Chelsea
evening.
Or a Champions League evening. Like if you're a small club like Arsenal or something like that, then it's kind of difficult for the fans to be able to get their up for it. So a lot of the scousers that I was actually talking to, they were it's just like it felt like an exhibition game that they expect to win. It's nice to see the team perform, but we're not really, because we expect that, we're not fussed about shouting at any rhetorical chants at the Palace fans. Palace fans focused solely on Liverpool, not supporting their team. They was actually focused on, and I'm talking about majority of the ones that I was there. If you weren't doing it, then cool. But I can only say what I saw. And I sat where we were right next to the Palace fans. So it was like, it was quite interesting that they, like, I think if they, for away games, focused on supporting their team rather than, you know, just chanting, like, where's your famous atmosphere? Or we forgot you were here. And, you know, we support our local team and all this nonsense that they were singing. Then I think that would be actually be better for their team personally. But Liverpool fans, you know, I think the chant, we've got no money, you know, but we're going to win the league.
The Reds have got no money.
Yeah.
Win the league.
That,
the Reds have got no money.
To the style of Free From Desire.
The Reds have got no money, but we'll still win the league.
It's brilliant. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I just think
intelligence of Liverpool fans' music, man.
Support your team. And that's what they said. Like, they, you know, we'll definitely get, like, you know, a couple of them. I've got some new Scouser friends now. So we can actually get some real Scousers on, so I can
apart from Cass.
You know what, I've got some as well that we can.
Exactly.
Let's get some. I know that's a conversation for
frauds
another time.
That we are.
Hey, I'm Scouse. Real I just fans. Don't have the accent, and I'm not from there. But I'm Scouse. Yeah,
London Scousers.
You know what I mean?
But, yeah, like that, what they were saying, and you know, obviously we're.
Like, can we call you a London Scouser?
I was thinking, well, I let it slide,
London
Maria. Maria, I let it slide. You got to let it slide with Dre sometimes. You know?
You see,
he's thinking about TikTok, or his mind's on TikTok.
Just
thinking, right?
Liverpool,
that's what my
London
name's
going to
be. You can look for me called London Scouser. That's what. But but some of the thing is that as well is like. I go about the actual support, and one thing that blew me away was the how much love that everyone has for the Reds, for the team, supporting them. You know, there wasn't anyone like moaning about, like, you know, any of the players. It was like, all right, who's going to play? Even when Jota missed, like, there was a little bit of like, oh, for God's sake.
No, but straight away, they cheer him.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, even when Salah, I remember when Salah missed the penalty, straight afterwards, Egyptian King was ringing out throughout the stadium.
They
bring
you back up. That's
straight away.
And do you know what? Salah's even commented on this in the last week. He's talked about how good the fans have been.
Yeah, he seems
to
go
to any match and get that.
One thing I wanted to actually just definitely mention is that Salah seems to be proactive with the crowd, with the fans a lot. And, you know, obviously when he took his shirt off, but even before then, it was just like, you know, getting people to cheer. So I think there's a it's like he feels, you know, he feels loved finally.
Yeah.
And then the fans are showing him now, like, because I think before, because we were sport, we had Bobby and we had Mane, and there was like people picking who their favourites was. It was kind of like the Fowler and Owen type of thing, like where, you know, you had favourites and it's like a split divide. Now it's like fully Salah, you know, he's appreciated. Obviously, Virgil's thinking about him, whether he's playing or not. But it was just a nice day out, like, you know, to be able to watch. So, except for on the way home when you had bitter Palace fans moaning. But apart from that, that's it. It was a good victory, and for me, I feel that it was another step. Like, without having to, I feel like we're follow me with this one, guys. I feel like we're in Audi mode,
It's
like. It's a nice statement.
Don't
car's
say
nice,
it. Don't say it.
And it ain't.
Don't,
it's not making too much fuss,
it,
but
don't
it gets you
stop,
where it needs
please.
To get.
Yeah, shout out to Audi for sponsoring this podcast. This is one of them, is it?
Audi is a very good car that you should give a try to.
Yeah, I'm sure they're thrilled with that description.
But let's move on to the midweek game, because we can sing, wax lyrical about beating a small club Palace. Oh, for
then what's Norwich?
And let's go to another small club. And we're not talking about Arsenal this time. We had to play Norwich away in the Carabao Cup. I will start off with Suki. How do you think that game went?
Yeah, it went well. I knew we were going to put a really different side out. Klopp seems to do that. He doesn't really care about the Carabao Cup, which I'm not sure I necessarily agree with. I would like to see us just win that. It is annoying that City have had that dominance on that for the last however many years. I think we've now both won it 8-8 as in City. So I would just like us to win that. We've got a favourable next round draw with Preston, and then it's quarters. Yeah, look, it's good that we're seeing some of these youngsters, but there's still other players I kind of do want to see. Like Minamino's looked great, to be honest. He took his chances. Origi's looking better. It looks like he's got some confidence from sort of nowhere. Like, I think he's enjoying the crowd back. Yeah, we look all right. Our defence is obviously solid. I'd say defensively, sort of, Kelleher can obviously do a job in the League Cup. I don't mind that. And obviously, our back two and Tsimikas are always fine with our reserves. It's just, yeah, the right back one worries me a little bit. We don't have a strong alternative for Trent.
Milner now, remember?
Yeah, we got Milner, but is he going to play Milner or is he going to play Nico? I think he'll play Nico at right back if Nico's fit, or the next person. I think for Nico's sake, Nico should be moved on, to be honest, when we can. We look all right. We look good. We obviously have that 16-year-old player as well, who looked all right.
Very good.
Yeah, I think it's a great experience for him, but I would like us to do well in this tournament, so I would like to see maybe some better players come in the future rounds.
So, Maria, do you who actually stood out? Obviously, a 3-0 victory. You know, Minamino scored two, and Divock Origi scored a blinder. But who stood out to you?
Well, I mean, from the young one, he was terrible in the match the other day. By the way, just saying, awful, awful, awful. That's why he's never played. Going back to Liverpool, of course. Who stood out? Well, for me, I mean, the ones that stood out were, I thought Minamino was fantastic, really good. Nice to see him gaining his confidence, because I think that was what it seemed to be with Minamino. It was just like a confidence thing, but he seems to have found that, and that's great to just see him and really again enjoying the crowd and enjoying the sort of adulation from people. I was impressed with Kelleher saving the penalty.
Oh yeah,
fantastic!
Yeah, for a bonus really save, good. Wasn't it?
What was that?
Because he saved it with his other leg, while one leg was sort of crossed with the other one.
He knew.
That was great. That was because I thought they're going to score with that. I was like, oh, here we go. But that was good.
Stone cold penalty, like inexperienced defending.
Well, yeah, that's true, actually. and then obviously the young players, I thought it was just great to see them and see what they could do and see them working together. Tsimikas was was quite unique where he kicked the ball at Jones. That was quite funny. Not sure what was going on. Literally,
there was no need. Because there was just no need for it in any way. There was no need.
He didn't even go and say sorry.
No, I didn't say sorry. He just walked off.
Jones on the floor.
Because I think he passed him earlier on, and then Jones messed up the control. He's like, all right, here, let me give you something to control. So he blasted his chest.
Because he's so accurate, you can't think he didn't mean it. Because the guy can cross on the
floor. He's so good. He's unbelievable.
That's a meat on it.
You just saw him on the floor and I was like, is he winded? I don't understand what's happened.
No, but it hit him, it looked like a jab under the rib cage. You know, one of those ones where it's just like, wow. And he's like, and he pretended
kidney
like it didn't hurt.
Kidney shot.
He was like, ooh, actually, you know what? Give me a moment.
Then he was on the floor.
Yeah, we've all had one of those like on a Sunday morning when you're playing football. So you're like, well, I should be watching Hollyoaks.
What? No. I've never said that in my life.
You're a liar. You
just try then.
You lie.
Mate, the London Scouser.
Ellie.
Yeah, Tsimikas. Tsimikas was a don. I love that guy. I love his personality. A Greek Scouser. I love his personality. I love his ability.
Greek London Scouser.
There we go. I think that...
Still needs to get a good sleep, though.
Yeah. That's what people keep saying on his pictures. He goes, imagine how good he'd be if he had a good night's sleep.
I saw some of those Muller memes, actually, floating around the internet, where it says, and they call him Simi Cross. You get it?
Oh, yeah.
it's Costas. It's Costa.
Oh, yeah. Costa Simicas. Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Like, honestly, though, I think his...
Go on, Ellie.
Sorry, Ellie.
It's all right. I was just trying to talk about how good our players are, but if you know, take the mick out of his name, then that's it. I'm trying to be like Cass here. So I'm trying to be like Dre here. That's what Dre said.
I love it. Keep the ship steady. Go on.
You know what I mean? So, but I have to say his actual crossing ability, I have to say, is probably better than Robbo's, but Robbo's defending is better than his. So it's a bit of a balance. But I think now it's becoming a little tactical. Well, depending on how we want to play, if we want to be more on the front foot, or we want to be, or defending is more of a priority, I think we can choose between the two. But it's nice because literally, like for like, now... Sorry?
We got options,
exactly. Whoever plays, we're not worried. I'm not worried anyway. I don't know about you
and
guys.
And the fans have really taken to him as well, which is really nice.
He's a bit like Moreno in that he's just obviously a character that everyone seems to like. Like, from the first mate he made was Salah, which obviously helps with the fans, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, it's like he's slotted in. Because I was worried when Lopez was like, oh no, he's going to be his boy now. And literally, Simicas came in and boom, they were best mates, like pretty much straight away. Now the banter, he's continued the banter where Lovren left off. So he's amazing.
He's doing a lot of the banter at the training ground as well. I remember when a couple of weeks ago when Salah got that shirt with 100 and they all celebrated and took a picture. Simicas posted not nice of Liverpool FC to get me and Salah a combined
goals. No, it is. You know what? It's really nice that he's kind of settled in. And I you know, obviously when I was there, I saw him getting blasted a couple of times Milner blasted him like consistently, and then you had someone else. I can't remember who it was. Someone else blasted him back, not a misplaced pass.
No, but the reason they can blast him is because he can take it, and that's what I like. They could just be real with him.
Oh, Virgil blasted him. Yeah,
yeah, because you can. Like, he's a Milner actually slapped him in the preseason friendly when he had an amazing game. I think he even got man of the match in the game. He had one moment where he did something sloppy. Milner just slapped him, just like because the. There's certain players that can take that, and he's one of those that they know that they could just be real with. Say, look, man, you know, obviously they're not going to do. If that was Harvey, they'd kind of handle it a bit differently, I'm sure. You know,
I mention him in particular because you guys haven't. Divock Origi, I tell you what, I'm really impressed by him. He seems like he's getting his confidence.
His eyes on
back.
The move in January. No,
you know what, Javinci, I'm just going to say this now.
Definitely.
I think we should keep him for this season.
I think we should as well. He's looking
good. Let me tell you what's happening. Let me tell you what I've heard's happening. He's got three offers on the table from Europe. Liverpool won around 10 million, and they reckon he could go in January. He wants to go to get regular playing time because he doesn't want to be a bench player for the next half of the season. So he's playing for January move. We're then looking to replace him with Karim Adeyemi because we don't want him to be sat on the bench either. We want to give him more playing time. So Origi out, Adeyemi in. Everyone's happy.
Here's where I take. If there's a way or possibility that
Suki's gone,
we could.
That was disgraceful.
Suki's had enough. Suki's walked off at this point. But I tell you what, like players when they play with confidence, there's nothing like it. And I think before he, you know, because obviously you can see this with Ox, who wasn't impressive in any way, unfortunately. And I think he needs to get his confidence back by playing time.
Definitely,
but I feel that you can actually see the difference between a player with confidence, you know, Salah, so forth, and you can see a difference between player and not. And I think that Regan now has actually got his confidence back because that finish that he had with the header was brilliant. And I think that, to be honest with you, if you're going to get the full use of Simicas, then you have to have someone like Origi to play.
And let's not forget about Origi. People forget when he was 19 and he was keeping Lukaku and prime Benteke out the Belgian national team at age 19. Origi was actually the most complete striker Belgium had, and they were the number one team in the world at the time. Origi can score with his left, right foot, in the box, out the box. He's quick, he's skillful, he's amazing in the air. So any offers you have on the table, speak to Michael Edwards.
I think we've forgotten Suki coming after, but I really think we've forgotten how good he could be.
No, 100%.
And you know,
he's still quite young.
He's kind of everything let's say if we sign someone, let's say in theory we sign someone with his stature, build, physique, pace, everything, everyone would be like, oh man, he's got a start. Everyone would be excited. So therefore, we're in form, you know, confident Origi. Do you not feel that that's something worthwhile keeping, Suk?
I'd like to see more of him because we've obviously seen Origi's got some huge goals for us. He's a cult hero. I was screaming at the end of last season and the season before that, that we should get rid of him. But I've been impressed as well this season in those couple of games. So, yeah, look, I think we should keep him till the end of the season if we're going to give him games and if he's playing the way he is playing right now. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't want to go all guns blazing for him yet because it is only a couple of games and I do want to see more of him. And yeah. Obviously, we know what Klopp's like as well. We've made some bizarre decisions in the past where people have seemed to go into form and then he doesn't play them again for the next 10 games.
Exactly. So, the good thing about Origi's form now is that now I'm comfortable either way. If he goes in January, gets one else, I'm happy. Yeah. If he stays, I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be against it if he went in January. But yeah, I'd want somebody else in if we were doing that. But yeah, I'd quite like to see him get some minutes and see how well he's going to do.
Before we go into the transfer window again, because you guys always drag me into that vortex, I think we should move on to Brentford because obviously, you know, with that in mind, obviously, and now that we're talking about Origi playing very well, high confidence. I mean, on the other side of it, Jota is not having the best time at the moment. He's struggling for confidence at the moment. A little bit, I think he needs a goal. But in the meantime, would it be out of this world shout for Origi to start instead of Jota on Saturday, Ellie?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Brentford worries me because their defensive record is outrageous. They've conceded, I think, only two goals, or maybe one goal, actually, I think. And they are so organised. I watched the game against Wolves and it was so, so organised that it looked like, you know, Wolves could have been playing all day and they're not getting through. It wasn't even that they weren't, you know, sometimes you don't score and they're throwing, like Burnley, throwing their bodies in the way and all that. Brentford, it was like they weren't even getting any shots. You know what I mean? They didn't even get a position to shoot. So with that in mind, you want a striker that's pretty mobile. And this is where it's like, I think Origi's good when you have space to run in behind and you can run at them and stuff. But I think the way that Brentford play, I think someone like Jota, who could just find a little half space in the box type thing, would be a more useful attribute. But in truth, you know, I wouldn't be upset if Origi started. If I saw Origi starting now instead of Jota, I wouldn't be that upset, put it that way. But I'll be honest, forget both of those. I want Minamino, man. That's who I want to start. Because Minamino can do everything Firmino could do. But he's also got like a long-range banger in him, you know. And we haven't got anyone who really does that either. So like, I would love to see Minamino step in with Salah and Mane and play that sort of like, you know, that 9.5 type striker role with a bit of movement. And he can do everything else as well. So he could beat a man, shoot from range. And his confidence is up. You know, he was tremendous in pre-season. And then he got injured, unfortunately, when he went to play for Japan. But he's obviously playing well again. And he also, much like Salah, where you can see Salah seems to have taken to the fans a lot more this season. Or maybe not taken to them more, but engaged them more. Minamino seems a lot more engaged with the fans, both in real life and on social as well. He seems happier to be there. And I think that's, we need to take advantage of that rather than do what we did last time when, like Suki said, when he had a good game, scored against Palace, and then we didn't see him again. And then he got dashed out alone.
I mean, it must be frustrating for him to, you know, for him to not get any form of game time. You know, after playing so well every single time that I've seen him. So, yeah, I do definitely think he should start. Maria and then Suki, would you make a change to Jota in the lineup and put either Divock or, Minamino in?
I think I'm with Ellie on this one. I think I'd go with Minamino as well. He's kind of riding high at the moment. So why not stick him in there? I don't think Brentford's going to be an easy game.
No.
I think Minamino would be a good choice.
Suki?
I agree. I think we should play Minamino. I'd like to see him above Jota. I'm always one that for bringing Jota on as a sub, maybe an earlier one, 60, 65 rather than 75.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to see Minamino start. And the other thing I just want to add with Minamino is the drip that he
can dress
on the front cover of Japan High Snobiety. Wow. Man's got style.
Guy can dress. Man's the guy can dress.
That oversized wool trench coat.
Yes.
I need one.
Guys, I'm not sure.
That would look really good on Suki, actually.
It would. Suki would suit you.
Why we should actually start him.
Hey, that it counts for something. Beckham made a career on it, man. Don't doubt that. Don't doubt the drip. Beckham made a whole career. He's still paying.
Let's quickly go on to the unfortunate injuries that we have at the moment. Ellie, I think you're up to date on it. Who's yeah, you know why I'm moving to you. Who's injured and who's not?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say that there's a certain gentleman called Navi Keita who unfortunately had a very slight knock during that Norwich game, and it seems like he is due to miss out against Brentford. But I think it's more precautionary, exactly. Yeah, because we've got a lot of games coming. We've got Porto straight after, and then we've got,
Man City. Depends on if he still hurts.
Apparently. Correct. Yeah, exactly. They say he's managing the
pitch. Did he get this by kicking the floor, apparently?
Yes. You know when you kick the floor when you're trying to kick the ball?
When you kick things when you're a footballer.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But sometimes it jars it, and you know, you can tweak it, especially when you're finely tuned, honed, a skilled footballing athlete such as Naby Deco Keita.
Yeah, it's sensitively built, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like it's a...
Can hear someone in the background saying, here we go again. I can hear Cash from here saying, here we go again. But apparently it's only
one comment he made on our chat was hilarious.
It might be two...
He said it twice.
It might be two games that he's out for. So it might be the Brentford game and then the Porto game.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he might be back for the Porto game? Yeah. What City after this?
I'd like to believe you, but I know how Klopp likes with these things, so I just take it with a pinch of salt. Like, he told us Firmino is just a slight thing. We ain't seen him since 1915.
Firmino's apparently is back now.
Yeah, he's running. That means that buys him another 2 weeks. You know, send us a couple of photos, then they'll buy us another.
It does leave a short in that midfield position without Harvey, Thiago and Naby, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Thiago's out as well.
Yeah, Thiago's done. They say a couple... Again, with him, they're saying a couple of weeks, but I don't believe them, man.
They said definitely he's missing Porto, Thiago.
Yeah,
definitely. If we go into team news, like our predictions, I would say, with what we have at the moment when it comes to Brentford, you know, I'll start with you, Maria. Who would you start? Because obviously we have to have a bit of change around. I know that I can see Jones incoming
because we got Porto quite soon afterwards, so he's going to have to think
about
that.
So pick your two teams for that if you guys
Brentford,
can see into the future.
Brentford Saturday, Porto's Tuesday. So
Brentford. Minamino. So
let's go with the midfield for
I can't even think who we've got. I'm just trying to think, actually.
Hello, Fabinho, Curtis, Milner.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ox.
Yeah, I don't think I'd play Ox, to be honest. Well, I don't think he's performing. I don't shake your head.
No, but Maria, you can only call what you see, can't you, Maria?
Exactly. I didn't see no leader Ox the other day, so I don't care. I saw leader Cater, but no leader Ox.
Yes, now you can call it. You can talk, Maria, preach.
But obviously we haven't got Cater either. So, Hendo, Fab, and... Who else have we got?
Curtis Jones, maybe?
Curtis, he was all right the other day.
Yeah,
you're not picking Jones ahead of...
No, but think we've got Champions League Tuesday away from home as well.
Exactly, we've got to
save Milner for that. Suki?
Yeah.
We'll go to strikers after.
It's got to be Ox over Jones, come on.
For Brentford?
No. Yeah.
Come on.
He has to play. And this is the thing, is that like, how is he going to get out of this
wall?
He'll be better in Champions League. Ox will be better in Champions League than Jones.
He'll get one of the others back for the Champions League. He will.
No, but Jones is solid. The reason I think Jones will play is because Jones is actually quite good in the tackle, you know. Whereas I'm not saying Ox isn't, but he is definitely more offense minded, and that's why I think against Porto, I reckon he won't mind that. Whereas I think against Brentford, who he knows are going to fight
Hendo and Fab. If he's looking for defense, he'll put Milner on. He'll do Milner, Hendo.
No, not full defense, but I'm just saying someone who's a bit more physical. That's what I'm saying because. Brentford are a team.
But Ellie, you have what I would say with that one. I think that we've got a free hit. We're not that Brentford's going to be easy, but we've got a free hit when it comes to the midfield that we choose. Because if you have, let's say, in theory, you have Ox as an attacking threat who can just solely focus on that, because he obviously, you know, I think that he needs some game time. If you've got Ox and you've got Fabinho, like, to be honest with you, that's defence. The defence is quite covered in that sense.
Yeah, I hear you. But
we've got Matip, VVD, Fabinho and Hendo. When those four are in the lineup, I don't mind if the other midfielder is not defensive at all.
Yeah, fair point. That's fair.
I mean, you know, realistically, he's going to play Hendo and he's going to play, he's going to play Fabinho in those games. So therefore, I think the free hit will be either it's going to be, I'm probably expecting he's going to lean towards Jones, but I think that he will, I would like him to play Ox because I think that Ox needs, you know, that game time, but him and Hendo on the right-hand side sometimes kind of clash. So I don't know how that would work unless he's going to rest Fabinho and play Hendo. No.
Fabinho got his rest against Norwich. That's him done now.
Okay.
Fabinho's...
Yeah, he's like, okay, you know what I mean? Let's not mess around.
No.
Let's just make sure. So what's your midfield you're going for, Ellie?
I'm going to go Fabinho, Hendo and Jones. That's what I think he's going to play personally.
Right, and strikers now. We're going to do a round table. Suki, who are you going for against Brentford strikers? Obviously, defence, midfield, we've covered.
I'm going to go Mane, Minamino and Salah. But I'm confused whether he's going to go Minamino or Jota.
I think he'll go Jota Champions League on Porto away because it's Portugal as well. And yeah, I reckon he'll start in then. That's why I think Maria? Minamino's got a good shout.
Yeah, same. I think Minamino over Jota.
I'm going to go with Mane, Salah and Origi. I think he's going to start Origi. I think he'll play Origi in the middle. I think Origi's in form. If there is any truth to what Ellie's saying with his transfer rumours, then you're going to want to up the value. And then also double bonus would be, even if you don't sell him, you want to keep that confidence going so you actually have a legit different option, you know, someone who can head. And Origi's that. Now, let's go on to just finally, Porto game. What is your team for that? I'll start with Maria.
So Jota over Minamino for that one, and Salah Mane. Mid, I think Hendo, Fab, maybe Ox.
Hopefully Cater's back.
Oh, with Cater's back, but I've got a feeling he's not. What did they? Well, I don't know if he's back.
They said one game. They said it's not serious.
One game. They did say one game. It was someone else they mentioned for Porto. And then, VVD, Matip, but I'd actually played Tsimikas over Robertson and Trent.
Okay. Sook.
Yeah, I'd probably go for that same team. I'd probably put Cater if he's available. I think Bobby might be available, hopefully. So hopefully Bobby can come off the bench, maybe. But I'd start with Jota.
Yeah, I think
Eddie.
Yeah, I think the same. I think, but I also think that I think Origi will come off the bench in both games. I reckon, but I don't think he'll start either personally. But
There's a little actually now decision between Robertson and Tsimikas now, because Tsimikas is definitely like playing so well, you know, and there's not too, Robertson's, I would say, probably better defensively, but, as an attacking option, as someone who actually can be a provider, I feel like he's like Robertson was when he first got the position back.
That's why I think he could play against Brentford, because we didn't really talk about the defence as much in Brentford as we thought. That's why I think Tsimikas could play, because Brentford is so hard to... because Brentford is so hard to break down. Everyone struggled to break them down.
But the only thing is that the only counter to that is that Robertson came on, you know, halfway through because he needs game time. So therefore, it leads me to believe that he's going to...
He'll play Robbo
because obviously Champions League, but he might just take him off early or something like that.
Yeah,
but I mean, I personally would play Tsimikas and then bring Robbo on after. But you know, same. So what's your let's round table, Suki, start off. What's your round table? What's your score prediction for Brentford and then for Porto?
I'm going to go 3-0 against Brentford and 2-0 against Porto. I know they're both away games, but I think we're playing well.
Okay. Maria?
2-0 for both.
Ellie?
Yeah, 2-0 for Brentford, 3-0 for Porto. Maybe 5.
Mm.
Choose one.
Did you say maybe 5?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
5-0 Porto.
Wow.
I think we're doing 3. I think we seem to be hitting these 3-0s quite consistently now. So 3-0 against Brentford. I would say 2-0 against Porto. I don't want to take the piss because we seem to think that we're going to just blow some of these teams away. It ends up being a harder game. But that's what I'm thinking.
Like my 7-0 last week, you mean, against Palace?
Yeah, that was absolute disrespect. Like, Palace fans, please contact Ellie for you. Because he literally gave
me a 7-0 last year, to be fair.
My Instagram handle is DRE365.
Now, on that note, on this more condensed version, because we are trying to cut down so we can actually give you the bare information that you need from us. I hope you like the shorter version. If you don't, then we can keep on going all night like we did during lockdown.
Let us know what DRE.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. We'll put all the apps after. Definitely Eddie's in bold. That's for sure for Palace fans. But until then, guys, we will see you next week. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.